And good morning. We are delighted to be together today, and let's begin with prayer. Our Father, thank you so very much that you are here with us. We are so blessed. There's none like you. We worship you. We adore you. We serve you with all of our hearts because you're the best friend we could ever ask for. And so we just ask your continued guidance. We want to be your house of prayer and to pray without ceasing and to be in a spirit and attitude of prayer 24/7. And so, God, we give you all the praise and the honor and the glory, and we just ask you to continue to lead us and guide us in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. All right. We've got some good news today. You've all heard that the gospel is good news. Well, we've got some really good news because we're going to be talking about something that most people are afraid of, and they're wondering what in the world is going to happen when this happens. We're talking about the return of Jesus Christ. Now, the RCL message that I'm giving today is the one for next week because Mike McNally was scheduled for the sermon here today, but he had to be out of town. So the context of this is going to be backwards, but we're going to be focusing on 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And Mike, when he comes next week, is going to be covering 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. And so just to get the context, I'd just like to read what he's going to be covering so that it leads right into what we're covering today. And we'll see how this is going to be all about the exciting return of Jesus Christ. But back in verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians 4, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep. Because there's no big thing with God about dying, because he has our resurrection and our life. So he just calls it sleeping. We know that. We've mentioned that many times. Or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Again, falling asleep, just no big deal with God. And it should not be with us either, because Jesus, when he was facing the cross, we've mentioned this many times, said, who for the joy before him endured the cross, despising the shame, because of the joy before him. So verse 15 says, according to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. And there's a process, like 1 Corinthians 15 talks about, each man in his own order. God is organized, and he's got it all planned out. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Now, the reason I put exciting return of Jesus Christ is because a lot of people are scared spitless about the days that are ahead. And the purpose of this sermon here is to help us to see the perspective God wants us to have. And it's very important to understand this because we're going to see in this scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5 that it's a whole different perspective for Christians than it is for the world. Because there's two different ditches that people can get into when it comes to the return of Jesus Christ. You know, I always say keep it between the ditches when I tell people when they're driving or wherever they're going. But in this situation, one ditch is when you get all caught up in the details about the return of Jesus Christ and you see, oh, this is going to happen. What about this? And you're just freaking out over this because they don't know what's going on. And they're scared because it says in Matthew 24, it's going to be the worst time in all of human history, such as has not been, no, nor ever shall be. So it's time to be freaking out. That's one ditch. We need to stay out of that ditch because that's not the way God wants us to look at it as Christians, because he has a whole different ball game for those who are in him. And that's good news. The other ditch is just to avoid talking about it altogether, where you just don't even talk about the book of Revelation. You don't even talk about Christ's return because You don't want to scare everybody. You want them to keep coming back to church, whatever. But we need to stay out of that ditch too, because we need to speak the truth, to speak the truth in love. And the truth is good news. And so these two ditches are avoidable when we read this section today, because it tells us exactly the way the Apostle Paul wants us to look at the coming of Jesus Christ. In fact, all of our trials, because remember, he said, count it all joy, James chapter 1, verse 5, count it all joy when you fall into different trials and tribulations. Count it all joy when you're going through hell in a handbasket. How do you enjoy it? It depends upon what you're looking at, how you're looking at it. Do you see Jesus in the middle of that trial? If you don't see him, you're going to be freaking out. But if you do see him, you just say, wow, I wonder what he's got in plan, because he says he delivers us out of all of our afflictions. And so it's all on our perspective, and God wants us to have a healthy perspective. And grieving is normal. And so God has a faithful solution. He is faithful, and he keeps his word. And he wants us to avoid both of those ditches and to remain focused on Jesus Christ about this end time, because we could be living into the end times. We don't know. I absolutely knew beyond a shadow of a doubt in 1975 that it was over. And guess what? We're still here 50 years later. But the thing is, we're going to see what it says here. Let's just read the next section, then we're going to break it down. Now, brothers, verse 1, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Ooh, that's scary. You mean he's going to break in the door, you know, and all these negative thoughts begin to pop into our minds and say, oh, no. Well, people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Man, that's scary. I hope I can not be here when that happens. But you brothers, are not in darkness so that that day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others. What are the others doing? You know what they're doing. We've been there, done that. We got the t-shirt. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath. Interesting. But to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. That puts on a little bit of a change in the way we normally think, doesn't it? So let's go back to the first verse and see how Paul begins this and how we can avoid both ditches and stay in the middle of the road with Jesus, where we belong. Verses 1 and 2 says, now concerning the times and seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. So Paul is being very gentle here, because he's letting them know, you've got nothing to worry about. You already know. We've already told you. The world doesn't even know what's going on. They've heard this and they've heard that, but I'm telling you, you've got nothing to worry about. That you already know about these matters. And he's not berating them. He's not finding fault with them. He's not saying, well, you shouldn't be thinking this way and all the rest of that, and rebuking them and so on, and being very critical and letter of the law type thing. He's full of grace. That's why God wants us to be with each other, and especially with Jesus Christ, who's coming back to do us a big favor, a massive favor, a time to fill us with joy unspeakable. So, but he's reminding them that of the truth, The truth sets you free. The truth is a person as well as the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And we know the Word of God is truth. Thy Word is truth. And so we have the truth to hold on to. And he's reminding them. And what's very important for us to understand is sometimes you hear the same thing here. I'm always talking about what a phenomenal future that we have in store. And I don't ever get tired of hearing about that. The Apostle Paul is reminding everybody because we need these reminders. Because it's so easy when we live in this world to get caught up in this world and to get our minds on negative things that you might hear around us and so on. Paul here is soothing their fears and just reminding them of who the Lord really is. But at that time, there obviously were some kind of concerns going on because there were all sorts of false teachers going on around them and wondering, well, when is this going to happen, and scaring them to death and all the rest of that. And he just wanted to remind them, God's got this. He's in control. You don't have to worry, that you are fully aware, and we know exactly how Jesus Christ is going to come back as a thief in the night. Unexpected, totally unexpected. Why would God put that in his word? Do you think it might have anything to do with the fact that he wants us to always be ready? Be you also ready for the time you think not the Son of Man come? That's called wisdom. And so we need to be thankful. Another thing that we need to focus on too is about the day of the Lord. And it says when the day of the Lord will come, most people think about the day of the Lord as this is a time of judgment and so on. And judgment is scary. You know, when you're going before a lawyer and you're going to have a judgment about you and you say, oh no, what's going to happen and so on. But that's a worldly perspective about judgment, because when Jesus Christ comes and the day of the Lord occurs, the judgment he's coming back is good for everybody, but especially to those who are of the household of faith, because he's coming back to fix this mess that we're in and to do something spectacular for us that is beyond comprehension, where we're going to be given eternal life in the better resurrection. The anticipation of that should absolutely knock your socks off. I think about that all the time. That's why you hear me talking about it all the time. It is so exciting. We need to remember that. That needs to be first and foremost in our eyes. Fix our eyes on Jesus, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. So understanding the time of judgment, judgment gets a bad rap because Christians are, we're always told not to judge one another. Judge not that you be not judged. So judgment must be bad and so on. But there's good judgment and there's bad judgment. We know that. And God wants us to have right judgment and to look at things from God's perspective, because he's coming back and he loves, God so loved the world. He's not coming back to destroy the world. He's coming back to fix the world. And sometimes the only way you can fix somebody is to resurrect them. I was talking to somebody on the phone this morning, and I can't get into anything about it. It wasn't anybody here, somebody in another state, but they wanted to counsel about something because they got their husband, they had a divorce and all that kind of stuff. But they were using human reasoning, and they didn't know how to make good judgment and so forth. All I said is, in fact, I'll read what I wrote back, just a brief note, because this is so important to understand. This is what she said. You can't, I gave her some scriptures so that she could avoid getting into the negative thoughts and the things that she was thinking. You can't judge me. I just want your support. Wrong or right, heaven or hell, I'm happy. That's what counts, and you should be happy and support me. So I'm removing religious talks from our conversations, how you worship God and is a personal choice for you and me. If I have a Bible question, I can use Google. I can use Google. That's a good way to find out the truth, isn't it? Well, you can find out scriptures, but we need to rightly divide the word of truth, and you need guidance and so forth. So please respect me and do the same, and don't judge me. But the whole thing is, this just demonstrates the way the world thinks. Satan gets into our minds and deceives us into thinking, what I think has to be the truth because God is in me. No, what you think is deceitful unless Jesus Christ is living in you and you are listening to the Word of God. And when you say, I don't want to listen because you went on, oh, I don't need that. I can find it in Google. I don't need to talk to you about the Bible. Anyway, it's just sad. But that's the way the whole world is thinking today. And God wants us to think from His realm. He lives in a totally different dimension. We are spiritual beings in our mind. The Holy Spirit, His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And it's a whole different dimension that we're thinking. And it is such a gift, and we just need to thank God profusely for what He has given to us so that we can not worry about the future. We've mentioned this many, many times. The number one command in the Bible is not love one another. That is a major command, but it is fear not. Don't worry. Worry, whatsoever is lack of faith, is sin. It just gets you in trouble. When you're just worrying, it ruins your health and it ruins your life. So we keep reminding ourselves about that so that we can receive the joy that God wants to have. He says, rejoice evermore. Two words, 1 Thessalonians 5, I think it's 18. Rejoice evermore. Just enjoy every minute of life because you have God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit living in you. And I just love to share that. I share that with everybody I counsel with. When you understand that, you have the best life ever because you can't lose. Your security guard is the creator of the universe. And so judgment is not something that we should be avoiding because Jesus Christ has perfect judgment. He knows what He's doing. He's coming back and He has it all figured out and we can anticipate it with excitement knowing that God says, I'll take care of you. You have nothing to fear. And so when He comes back, we need to make sure that we are in sync with His will and that we're not filled with fear, doubt, anxiety, or worry, because that's only going to get us in trouble as far as not reaping the blessings that God wants to pour out to us. So Paul is not saying you better get your act together, that Jesus may return and catch you in the act and so forth, all that kind of stuff. He is very encouraging. He's not using fear tactics. This Jesus is coming back as a gift of encouragement to us. Like it says here, encourage each other with these words. Not discouraged by saying, oh no, this is going to be a freaking bad time and I don't know what I'm going to do. We can just say, God, thank you, thank you, thank you that you have given me your peace. Like He told His disciples, my peace, I give it to you. We need to receive that peace, that joy, that patience, that gentleness, that meekness, that humility, that self-control. Those are the things that we need to ask for every day. Those are gifts that God can't refuse to give to you if you speak from your heart. That is always God's will, to give you His love, His joy, His peace, His patience. Ask for those daily, and you will be astounded at what a difference that will make in your life. All right, let's take a look at the next verse, is verse 3. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Now, this is talking about man's kind of peace, because man has a plan for peace. Russia has their plan for peace. All it is you get in line with what we want, or we'll kill you. Very easy. Hamas, you know the story. Get in line with us from the river to the sea. Wipe out all the Jews and so on, because we want Muhammad to be king. That is just the world that we're living in. And this reference here, when there is peace and security, is probably a reference to the Roman peace at that time. And we know what that Roman peace was all about. It should have been Roman pieces. If you don't get in line with what the Roman law is, you end up hanging on a stake or hanging on a cross, and you get crucified. when you read here, while people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. And so the world has this thing where they want to give peace, but it's all worldly peace. My way or the highway. If you don't do what I say, we'll take you out. That's what wars are all about. Take anybody out that's disagreeing with what I want. And that's why man does not know the way to peace. Only God has that. And he's coming back, and he is going to bring peace to the whole world. The knowledge of God is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. That is exciting to imagine that day when that comes. So the only way that we're going to really have that peace is in Jesus Christ. And the world is going to have to learn the lessons that they have to learn. Because God says, whatsoever a man sows, that shall. It doesn't say might. That shall he also reap. And the world is going to reap what they're sowing. When all you want is wars and fighting and all that kind of stuff, it's sorrow, pain, suffering, and death. But God is allowing that because he wants the whole world to learn that sin sucks, that sin is just has to go. That's why Jesus Christ came, is to destroy sin. And that's the good news. And so when he comes back, we need to realize that we are very, very, very close to that. Because when he returns and the dead in Christ, like the previous chapter is talking about, we are raised up there, you will no longer have anything to do yourself with dealing with sin, because you will have a spirit body. You're going to rise with Christ and everything is going to change. You will have a body that can traverse the universe at the speed of thought. Just amazing things to contemplate and to rejoice in and to thank God for. So what we need to ask ourselves is, where do we look for our peace and our security? Are we looking to politics? We have to look in another dimension. Jesus Christ is our peace. And if we're looking for peace in this world, that ain't gonna happen. I think there was like 15 or 20 or 30 years in 6,000 years where there were no wars. It was probably right after the flood. Who knows? Man does not know the way to peace. It's just the way it is. And so that's why God wants us to keep our eyes on the return of Jesus Christ and on Jesus specifically, and anticipate his coming back with great adoration and excitement. But now let's take a look at verses 4 and 5, where Paul is going to switch back and focus on those who put their trust in Jesus. Verse 4 says, "But you, brothers, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief." Interesting. So the thief thing, we don't even have to worry about that. That you, brothers, are not in darkness. Because when you're in darkness, that's usually when the thief comes. But we're not in darkness. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. So we do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. Wow, that's exciting to realize that we don't have to worry about the thief in the night, because we're going to be ready 24/7 if we're doing exactly what Jesus says. That's what Jesus wants us to do. He says, I do exactly what my Father in heaven commands me to do in the last verse of John 14. And that's what he wants us to do. But we can't do that. All we have to do is say, God, I want you to live through me. I will say this for the rest of my life as long as you are willing to listen. Because we need to know that and be reminded, because you can't overcome sin. It's impossible. Human nature is sin. And we need Jesus Christ living in us and ask him to give us his righteousness. And when he gives us his righteousness, he does the works through us and causes you to do things that you could never do in a million years. And the good news is it's not hard to do that. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Remember that scripture, Matthew 11, 28. Learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Man, I mean, it's just exciting. It's good news. Everything is good news when you really see things from the words of Jesus Christ. So clearly this passage here is not about scaring us about Christ's return, but rather something better is coming. And there will be no surprises for those who are in Christ because we're expecting him to come. And we're ready no matter what, even if we don't know when. But as children of light, we clearly see the truth and who Jesus is for us, because he is faithful, he is true, and he's going to be bringing peace, he's going to bring security. The whole world is going to be transformed. I mean, it's what the whole world is waiting for. They just don't know it yet. They are looking for a solution, and the only solution is Jesus, and he's not going to do it by coercion. He is going to do it through love and wisdom, and he's got the power to do it because he has the power of the resurrection and the life to do that. So he goes on to say in verse 6, "So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober." Now, what does it mean by sleep? When you're sleeping, you're just not paying attention. You're just ignoring what's going on, and you're just doing your own thing, and you're just snoring away. But God doesn't want us to be sleeping like the rest of the world in the darkness. He wants us to be awake spiritually and to be sober and to put on, like he says here, the faith and love as a breastplate, as we are focusing those three qualities that are so important: faith, hope, and love. And each one of those are the first three attributes. It's just that are paramount in our spiritual lives. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Jesus Christ, the Father, the Holy Spirit are the love personified. And hope is the resurrection. That is our hope. You read 1 Corinthians 15, it all talks about the hope of the resurrection. And with those three things, God fills us with everything that we need to be able to deal with all these apprehensions, anxieties, worries, or concerns. They can just dissipate when we have those qualities of faith, hope, and love. So God has not destined us to wrath, but he is giving us a future that is incomprehensible. He doesn't want us to be just careless and just saying, "Well, I'm not worried about anything, but I'm just going to do what I think I need to do." No, we need to be feasting on the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And God says, "In the last days, many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' shall deceive many. They will depart from the faith, giving seed to seducing spirits." And Satan is working. If there's anybody God wants to work on, it's you and me, because he wants to destroy the church. But you got nothing to worry about, because Jesus Christ has already won. He's already won, and we've got nothing to fear, nothing to worry about. And that's the good news. And so he says the command that Paul issues here about being sober has to do with these fabulous qualities that only come from God, so that we are praying unceasingly and faithfully with all of our hearts. So we're not destined for wrath like the rest of the world, but we're destined to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who, when you think about it, how can you have a better friend? The greater love has no man than this, that he lays down his life for his friend. That's what Jesus did for each one of us. I cover this with the baptism with each. We have a baptism coming up shortly. But it's all about being devoted to the apostles' teaching, Acts 2:42. Being devoted. I cover this with everyone that is being baptized. We got two or three more that are in the process. But we need to be devoted to this book right here, to the apostles' teaching in the new covenant, especially. And to the fellowship. When you are devoted to the fellowship, that means we are fitly joined together. We love one another. We serve one another. You read the rest of that chapter of Acts 2:42 through the end. It's all about how we lay down our lives for each other. We serve each other. We do whatever is necessary in order to be there for each other. I mean, that's a true friend. That's what Jesus Christ did. He did everything for us. And you can't have any greater love than to lay down your life. Our time is our life, and we need to lay down our lives for one another. And we can do that by calling and checking on each other and making sure everybody's okay, and offering to help any way that we can possibly help, because people, we're always in need of something at some time or other. And that's what fellowship is all about. And then the breaking of bread is the third thing, and that's your intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. It's understanding what Jesus Christ did for us, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And then the fourth thing is given to prayer. Those four things the apostles were teaching with all of their heart. That's what they wanted to do. They were devoted to that. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so very much that you have given us such hope, such love, everything that we need, and especially your grace. Your grace is sufficient for us, and that's how we're saved, by grace through faith. And God, we just thank you for that. And we just ask you to remember these things that we've heard today, and to always keep you first and foremost in our mind, in our hearts, so that we don't have to suffer like the world suffers, but we can enjoy you because we know you already enjoy us. And we thank you and ask this blessing and your dismissal in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.